Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money? Still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know. I love Thanksgiving. It's one of my favorite holidays of the year.
I think it's a great day.
I do, especially since we've gone to grazing. Grazing and not formal sitting for Thanksgiving. I think Mannequin's instilled that into our hearts. And then my nephew took over for Thanksgiving. So now we graze, we watch football, we talk. It's fun.
I enjoy the sit down dinner.
You do? Mm-hmm. How many courses then? Like 3 or 4?
No. Walk through the line and you sit down and eat.
Ah, buffet style. And then you sit down at the table.
Correct.
Gotcha. We started doing a grazing a couple of years ago, and I like it. I think it's just, it's more informal.
You might want to explain that. People are going to think you're a bunch of cows out in the field eating grass.
No, so rather than having a big formal dinner, right, and you sit around and everyone and like, oh, here's this and here's that. It's not, although it sounds to me like you do kind of a casual formal. It's casual because you go get your food and then you sit down and then everybody sits and eats. And
that's the way it
does. Everybody start at the same time?
The way it goes now. Yeah. You go through the line, you sit down and eat.
So with the grazing part of it is you can just
go in.
My
wife's family has a lot of folks in it. So.
Yeah. Like how many people are at the table?
There are a bunch of tables.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did you sit at the kids' table?
It goes anywhere from 12 to 40 people.
Wow. Like that. Yeah. That's a lot of turkey.
You never know. Never know who's going to show.
The grazing part of it is when you do exactly what Jeff, like you set up the buffet in there, but then you can eat at your leisure. So the food is out and you can go eat and then you can come back. And it's not like anyone's like, doing a toast or anything, but you know, say grace together or something like that. But you still sit there and you're like, oh, okay, I get it. I understand it. Michael, what do you guys do? Just out of curiosity.
Well, I have a smaller family, so I'm just going to go home. It's only 4 of us. So we can actually kind of fit around like one table.
Nice.
Food off to the side, kind of like the little island, and then yeah. Go sit down, eat, watch football afterwards.
There you go.
Usually play some Monopoly late at night. That's our thing.
Oh, there you go.
That's not a bad. We try to get a movie in there.
Ruin the holidays by getting mad at each other.
Yeah,
that's great.
It gets very heated.
You don't have to sit at the kids' table by yourself, though, do you?
No.
Like set up a separate table for you in the corner. That would be bad.
No.
That would mean it might be time to find a new family.
Yeah, that would be bad.
We also have another tradition that we do. We go to some really good friends that I've known pretty much my whole life, and we go over their house. I don't know if I should say this or not. I guess I'll say it. So,
oh boy.
If I say that, no, it's, and you know me, I'm not a big drinker and all, but there is a, rhymes with Randy Ralexander. How's that sound? And I never even thought about ever having a Randy, what did I say, Ralexander ever before. But, so we started a couple years ago, we do breakfast over there. So we head over there in the morning as they get ready for their big family dinner. And it is so much fun, man. We have such a blast. People show up with their PJs early in the morning. Normally what we'd do is everyone throws on a hockey jersey.
Flannels.
And
flannels.
Yeah, you can wear flannels. You can do whatever you want. We go over there in the morning. It's just so chill.
Nothing more
so
fun than seeing people wearing flannel PJs in the mall.
In the mall?
Yeah. Walking around shopping. Hey, that's great.
I don't know. Anyway, we've been doing that for a couple of years now. And the family that hosted that we're really good friends with. I love doing that. It's just so much fun. It's just, it's a great tradition that they have in their family. And they welcomed us in.
Very nice.
Years ago, so. Shedeur Sanders, speaking of family, let's all talk about the Browns family here. will get the start this week, even though Gabriel is off of the concussion protocol. A big week for him. I think a big week for everyone who's following. I was on, I did a show, an internet show last night. And I know, I'm just trying to be nice. That the question came up, you know, and all they wanted to do was talk about Shador. And I said, if Shador wasn't playing, would you care about a 3-win team? And he was like, absolutely not. Last week, do you think I cared about two teams that were 2-8? And I was like, no, I don't think anybody does. But the appeal of Sanders and the folks that want to watch him play and they want to talk about it, like, we know it. I mean, people are listening left and right. I mean, we're getting calls from all over the country now because they want to see Shador Sanders play. And I do think you know, as long as he plays and keeps getting better and is entertaining to watch, I think the storyline continues to grow. But I do think,
especially for a franchise that hasn't had a quarterback, you know, that they've been able to latch onto for a long time.
But sometimes, and we were kind of talking about this last segment, that, you know, I wonder sometimes when we juggle the legend of a player versus the actual skill and ability of a player. I'm not saying he doesn't have skill and ability, well, but I do think, like, LeBron James,
we haven't seen enough to know how much skill and ability he has.
Right. It's almost like, I mean, you remember when LeBron first came in the league, I'm like, man, I mean, people are expecting him to be the MVP of the league when he's a rookie. And the thing that made LeBron great,
20 points a game as a rookie.
But this was before he even took the floor, Jeff.
Yeah.
This was him coming out of high school. And, you know, I always thought back to that. And to me, this is why LeBron is the GOAT part of it, is that he lived up to all of the expectations that were placed on him as a teenager and continues to play in the NBA to this day. And, you know, a lot of, at that point too, I still think there were people saying, well, I mean, shouldn't you pay the guy after he proves something that he, and in LeBron's case, no, he deserved to get paid before he actually got out on the court. And he lived up to every expectation that's ever been asked of him, including bringing a championship to a championship starved city like ours. And so then I think sometimes when we look at the Sanders story, that we juggle the whole notion of, okay, he's got all these followers because of what he did in college. People are rooting for him. They don't really care who else is in the way. They just want to see him play. They don't care where he was drafted. They just want to see him play because of the, is it fair to say the entertainment value? Which, by the way, I'm very entertained when he plays.
Well, so far, yeah. I mean, you wanted to see it. I was really looking forward to watching, you know, the Raider games. Let's see what he can do. And I'm looking more forward to this one. It'll be a better test.
Yeah, how will this, what are you expecting out of him as far as growth between last week and this week, and 2 weeks?
I can't even quantify it. What I expect, Andy, is that he's going to have to make more plays than he had to make against the Raiders. And I can't wait to see if he can pull it off. But I think the Niners are obviously a better team. They have a pass defense that is a little more susceptible. Other teams, other quarterbacks have had great success against them. We went over some numbers in the last five games yesterday. The Niners in their last five games, two quarterbacks were under 200 yards, but that was the game Jacoby Brissett completed 47 passes.
Yeah.
C.J. Stroud had a big game. So there's going to be an opportunity. And I think they'll have to. And Browns are going to have to throw the ball because the Niners are going to put up points, even against our defense. They're not going to put up 35. They're not going to put up, I don't think, 30. But I'll bet you they put up more than 17.
Well, the Browns are going to have to put up more than 17 or more than 20.
Well,
like
that's
last
the point.
Week, I
that's
was so
the point.
Remember, I walked back in the room the other day and I was just like, "Oh man, look at that! The Browns are over 20. Hey, look at that! They've surpassed the league average at 23 point whatever it is this week. I mean, for them to be able to do that is definitely a step forward for the offense, and to watch Shador kind of move this team. I just, you know, you brought it up the other day about Gabriel, and it's just, man, people just want to crush him. They just want to crush him. And
yes,
it's just,
they do.
And I, you know, it's not that we're sticking up for him. It's just we look at him like he's a rookie quarterback, much like you have to look at Shador. He's a rookie quarterback because if you don't, the mistakes that he makes now are mistakes that if he grows and matures at a level that we have seen other quarterbacks in the NFL, you know, that the mistakes you see now, you won't see in the future. Like, I like the fact that I didn't think Shador had the happy feet that he had in his first two quarters. But then again, I'm not going to get mad at a rookie who got thrown in the middle of a game who had never spent any time with the first team offense for having happy feet and maybe being a little overexcited in his first game. Why? Because he's a rookie. And there's a tolerance level you have to have. It aggravates me when we think that we have to put rookies out on the field and they all have to look like Patrick Mahomes or they all have to look like Ben Roethlisberger. Like, I'm tired of that. There's got to be a level of it's not compassion, but it's
understanding.
Yeah, and patience. There's got to be some patience, no matter if it's Gabriel or Sanders, and there's just no patience for Gabriel. And it, in some ways, I look at that, I'm like, man, this guy, I almost want to trade him just so he can get to another team. Much like people were saying about Sanders at one point this season, saying, well, if they're not going to give him a chance, let him go to another team. But the other teams also had the opportunity to do that. So, I don't know. What do you want to hear out of him today? Because he's getting ready to take the podium here pretty soon.
I would like to hear him say, you know, I picked this up in the Raider game. A couple of things he observed about the NFL. You know, being out on the field, having a chance to start, and having a chance to prepare to start. You know, what did he see? What did he learn? Anything different? Anything unexpected? I think that'll be interesting to see and hear.
How did you think he got better last game?
He didn't bail out and backpedal like crazy. He also didn't have to because the line did a pretty good job of protecting him, Andy. You know, there were times when he could have done that and didn't. And so that's key. But I also think the Raiders didn't get to him, you know, as much as in the previous game against the Ravens.
Yeah. Well, again, he got thrown into the fire against the Ravens. And so I think that's
something. I would expect Robert Saleh to bring the house. You know, let's see how he handles pressure.
Yeah.
Let's see how the line handles pressure.
The other matchup.
I would take the chance on getting burned on a big pass play if I'm the 49ers rather than sit back and let them pick apart, you know, maybe more of a prevent type of defense or allowing the running game to
gentlemen,
dominate.
I hate to interrupt. We're going to go out to Berea with Browns quarterback Shador Sanders at the podium.
You know, look back at the game. What were the things that when you took away from it, you said, you know, I really like what I did here and really feel like this is things I needed to really, really work on and progress on?
I was really thankful for being out there, of course. And it's everything, you know, in the midst of a game that you could progress in. When it comes to, like, even footwork, when you're handing the ball off, locating defenders, understand that the windows do close a little bit quicker, you know. There's a lot of things that you could go back in a game and look back and want to redo.
Shador, you were kind of joking after the game, like, you know, wait till I get a full offseason. But now another week as a starting quarterback.
Yeah, that was just jokes, man. That was jokes. A lot of people took that out of context, but you understand the past 6-7 months been hard, you know. So I want to definitely be thankful that I am able to work out with those guys and knowing I do have a great defense and knowing I came this far. So I was truly amazed. I was truly happy, of course, in that moment that, you know, the work has been paying off. But I'm not comfortable.
I say that all to say, like, you know, what can we reasonably expect you in your second start? What do you kind of expect yourself in the second start?
I'll say to do my job.
Shador, you did allude to after the game, kind of for the first time, just how hard this past 6 months really has been for you, which, for the most part, you've put on a happy face for us, and you had that smile, and you had that great attitude and everything, but this was a lot harder, wasn't it, than you really let on? And why and how were you able to just not show it as much as you did?
Well, first and foremost, I got God. So through that, he's able to protect me through everything. But we're in a good moment now, you know, and I don't like looking back. I don't like looking back at the past, you know, and how I was feeling in that moment or however it was, because I'm here now. So I don't ever dwell on the past and things that happened before.
Sure, you gotta get to ask you about gel with some of these guys. The more reps you get, physical reps. I know you've been taking mental reps and you've been doing that throughout the year, but to have these physical reps, does it feel like you're getting a better connection with anybody?
Yeah, of course. Day by day, minute by minute, meeting by meeting, of course. I'm getting a little bit more comfortable and like being in that role, being in that position, they're getting more comfortable with me also. So I'm excited, I'm happy for it, and I'm just thankful.
Shenour Harrell, and seeing the yards after the catch he's able to pick up, like, what's that like for you as a quarterback? And Dylan Sampson made the comment that Harrell just never quits on a play.
Yeah.
So what's that like to be out there with
him? Nah, it's great to be out there with Harrell. I know all the receiver core, that's the goal, is to get yards after catch. So I think he set an example. He set the bar high for us and his team.
No Cleveland Browns quarterback has ever won his first two starts. Mm-hmm. Does that surprise you, and how do you feel about that?
I don't really go off analytics and all that stuff, and it really doesn't matter to me, honestly. You know, I'm focused on what I could do and what I could control.
You could be the first.
I always wish the best, you know, and I do everything I can, you know, for this team and for everybody. But I got a great defense, got a great team, got a great receiver, so I'm just thankful.
Hey, Coach, hitting that early big play to Isaiah, the 52-yarder, mm-hmm. help you? And then did you notice the effect that it seemed to have on the rest of the team?
Well, it's about belief. The reason why I am so confident in the way I am is the guys around believe, you know, so that's what's most important within having a team, within having an offense, within having to have a spark. You know, you got to have guys that believe, you know, so and I'm fully confident in myself throughout everything, you know, and I'm confident in my team, and I'm sure they're confident in me also.
I know you got a taste of it coming off the bench against the Ravens, but what do you think the first start at home in front of that crowd's going to feel like?
I feel like it'll be fun. I feel like it'll be very fun. You got to understand, right now, I'm in grind mode, you know, mentally. Understanding how to attack this defense that we're going against, and they're a great team. They got great coaches, everything, but that's where I am mentally right now.
Hey, Shishidar, not from you, but all your supporters out there say that Kevin Stefanski was sabotaging you.
So you just want to start trouble, huh?
No, I want to ask you what your relationship with him is.
Yeah, well, what people do outside the building isn't really in my control. It's not in my power. So I don't, I go out there and tell him to do whatever. You know, that's not nothing I can control or nothing I could do. But, overall, you know, I'm just happy to be here. Coach Stefanski, he's been coaching since I got here, and he's been doing a very great job, you know, with everything that's going on.
But what is your relationship like with him and when we don't see you guys together?
Definitely like a coach. You know, he tells me what I need to do on and off the field. We've definitely grown. Our relationship and everything has grown, so I'm just thankful to be here.
Sure, obviously you had a conversation with Kevin about remaining the starter earlier this week. Just what was that moment like for you? Because you talk about the work you put in those 6 months to get to the point to just start. Mm-hmm. But to know that you not only got that opportunity, but you did enough to keep the job. Just what was that like for you?
Well, I'd say I'm definitely not comfortable, though. So that's first and foremost that I have another opportunity to go out there. But in life, you got to understand how quickly things come or how long it comes. It could be taken at any point of time. So I'm never comfortable in the situation I'm in. I always want to exceed expectations and I always want to grow. You know, and each and every week I will want to put a better product of myself, be a better version of myself for the team to be out there.
With Dylan Sampson, how have you seen him handle this year? He kind of got off to a slow start and then seems to be coming on. Obviously made that huge play for you Sunday.
Dylan been the same all year, you know, mentally. So you wouldn't even know unless you look at the numbers, you know. So he has good energy, good everything, you know, when he's out there. So, yeah.
How do you feel like you just brought this spark back to Cleveland? I know a lot of the young fans really look up to you and rally behind you. Now you have the whole city rallying behind you for upcoming week this Sunday. Just how does that make you feel about all of that?
It is great, honestly, but like I said, I'm not comfortable. You know, as quick as things come, it could leave at any point in time. So that don't really catch my focus, or that's not really in my focus or my plans, you know. I'm thankful for everybody and whoever supports, but, you know, I'm focused on getting this team some wins.
Shador,
often that the president of the United States shouts out an NFL player. So for you to get, you know, and I told you so from the president of the United States, what did that mean to you this week?
He definitely been a supporter, you know, for a minute. So I'm just thankful for him, from, you know, even taking time out of his day to be able to speak out, you know, in support.
Shador, obviously unfortunate circumstances for why Dylan Gabriel lost the starting job last week to deal with the concussion. But now that he's back, just how has he sort of showed support for you already this week as you guys get ready for that?
Yeah, definitely. He's a hard worker. He's the same guy. I feel like a lot of people in his locker room is the same within every situation they're in. You understand, he spent a lot of years in college, so he got experience in a lot of different areas and a lot of different people, so he knows how to, like, bond and mesh with different people. So since he's been back, he's been cool throughout everything.
I'll
say two more.
Specifically with Ethan, just, you know, quarterback center, that's such an important you know, connection. Can you kind of describe how that's grown over the last couple of weeks?
The connection definitely grown, I'll say. I'm thankful to have him out there, you know. He makes life easier for me, and he's a smart person, smart player. So, you know, that's definitely a relief when he's out there with me.
Sure. How's it feel to be part of it? We've talked so much about this rookie class, and now you're contributing as part of it. Just how do you look at this entire group and you being part of it?
Yeah, I'm just thankful, you know, Andrew Berry made the choices, you know, he made. And the coaching staff are getting us all here. I feel like it's a great class. We all bond together. We're all like family, you know. So I'm just thankful that we're all here together. And I know it's going to be very exciting. And you have high expectations for us. You know, we're here to exceed those.
What do you see from San Francisco's defense when you watch them on tape and you're getting ready for the game? I'm not trying to ask you to give away game plan, but just,
no, for sure.
What do you see when you look at that 49er defense?
They're a well-coached team, honestly. They rush the passer very good. They're great in coverage. They have great disguises overall. They know how to get pressure to the quarterback. So they're a great all-around defense. You know, we know they're going to have some different, you know, cooking for us. But just going out there, even having this opportunity, you know, to go out there and study them and be able to go on the field is cool. You know, it's very cool. So I'm just thankful for it.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Shador.
All right, Shador Sanders, your starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns this weekend coming up against the 49ers. Let's do a 2020.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back, and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. If you missed any of the Shador Sanders press conference, you know you can always catch it on the Odyssey app. Go back and listen to the Baskin and Phelps podcast, and you can always hit Radio Rewind on that, too, so you can go back and hear what he had to say. What'd you think?
Jeff Shudell asked him about the
tough
relationship
question
with Kevin.
Yep.
Well, and Shador didn't completely, I think, grasp what Jeff had said to him, because Jeff wasn't trying to stir up stink. He was trying to say, what's your relationship like?
I think it was an opportunity, just personally, really quick. I just think it was an opportunity for him to clear the air and just have everyone go, like Mary Kay said, that there's no issue going on there.
Right. And I don't know that he cleared the air, but he said he treats me like a coach. You know, he's a coach and
I'm a player.
Yeah, and it's come along.
Yeah, I don't.
There wasn't any glowing thing like I love Kevin and he loves me, but there doesn't need to be.
No, but do you think people will read into that more? I'll be honest with you. When he said it, yeah.
We just did.
But no, I think people will read into that and go, oh, they have no relationship because he didn't come out and say, I know he didn't say that. I heard the question. I just kept thinking, okay, what are people thinking?
He didn't take the opportunity to say, Kevin has done a great job bringing me along.
Or that
we're. And we get along great.
Yeah, he didn't say anything.
He didn't. No, he didn't. And that's okay.
He doesn't have to.
He doesn't have to.
No.
Nor does Kevin have to say Shador is my favorite player.
Because you know that Kevin's going to get asked that question coming up here in a little bit, right? Someone's going to ask Kevin about his relationship. And you know what he'll say?
I think our buddy Jeff Shadell might be the person to do it.
And what is he going to, how is Kevin going to answer? You know how Kevin's going to answer this question.
Yeah, he's going to say, yeah, I have a relationship with all my players and we coach them up and try and make them the best pros we can.
You know, I appreciate the question, but you're Jeff, then you hit what you said after that. It'll be the.
You know what I'd like to hear? And you can hear this from time to time from coaches or players. There's nothing wrong with saying, you know what? Shador and I get along just fine. I'm a coach. He's a player. I coach. He plays. We're not best pals, but, you know, we've only known each other for 8 months. What's wrong with that?
I don't even think you have to say that. I think you're just good. You don't need to get into the best pals part of it. It's just. I'm a coach. He's a player.
I mean,
we have a working relationship. Imagine, it's really good. It works.
Can you imagine Mike Tomlin saying, gosh, I love that guy about anybody? You know, I mean, I'm sure Mike has from time to time, but that's not Mike Tomlin's job. It's not Andy Reid's job. You know, I would assume they like most of their players and they get along okay. But their job is to coach players. And sometimes by coaching, you have to tell guys things they don't want to hear. And they're not going to like it.
Well, the other part about pro sports, too, is that your lifetime in professional sports is over in the blink of an eye. And
well, it's a small part of your life, the playing part of it anyway.
If you're lucky, you get 3 years. If you're lucky, anybody that's more than 3 years, bravo. Bravo if you can make it in the league for more than 3 years.
You get your pension? Congratulations.
Yeah. But I also think that there's this feeling, and I think, you know, we had the opportunity to learn this when we were with the Indians, and we were doing stuff with Fox Sports at the time, that, you know, you'd see somebody come in, and they'd be there for like 3 weeks, and you might get to know them a little bit, and then they're gone, and then you never see them again, you know, and you end up in witness protection somewhere else, too. It's just, I'm just thinking of one player in particular that we were talking about in the break, you know, that, you know, you get to know these guys for a little bit and then they are gone and you just don't see them again. That's why I think, well, if you ever watch the end of the game, it's always interesting to see players that used to play together in college,
yeah,
shaking hands or trading jerseys after the end of the game. So
you know, you're allowed to smile because it's friendships, but, you know, during the game, you don't see that.
Yeah, I don't know that you have another opportunity like the college. No. College or high school relationship. I always find it interesting.
Or a chance to smack a guy in the helmet if he punched you in the groin during the day.
Well, that's a good point, Jeff. I never really thought about it that way. Good perspective.
Excellent. Oh, we had that this weekend.
All right. Shador spoke. Kevin Stefanski coming up here in a little bit, and we'll get to that press conference in just a few moments. So we will. I still have a little bit more I wanted to say about Shador, what Shador had to say today, too. And what'd you think? How about that? 216-474-0092. It's Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 Fan. I don't know. I kind of want to tell the story because it's all behind the scenes stuff, but I'm dealing with a bad shoulder today. How's that sound? And I almost got whacked in the shoulder today. Should I explain it or no? Move forward.
Oh, go ahead.
I guess I'm already in. So yesterday, I'm on the ice. I'm coaching.
I'm coaching on the ice.
So I looked the other way, and the kids were, they were kind of doing a power lap. How's that sound? Trying to go as fast as you can. One of the kids put his head down, and I was standing there.
With your head turned the other way.
Yeah, I couldn't see it. Did you ever see the defenseless receiver? That's what I was. I was a defenseless receiver yesterday, and all I remember was falling. I didn't hit my head. That was the best part. Although maybe that would have made me a better broadcaster. But I fell.
You had a dream, Andy.
And all I could feel was my arm leaving my body, the main part of your body. And then all of a sudden, I just used some choice words you probably shouldn't use in front of high school kids, but I did anyway. Nice. And
you'll get a memo.
And so now I'm in just like massive pain today, but that's all right. I can live through it.
Michael, have you noticed that Andy's slightly favoring his right shoulder today?
It's kind of like interesting watching him put the headphones on, like down on the table.
The problem is I
and
can't
reach across his body to turn his mic on. And
yeah, I can't get my headset on. I can't lift my arm to get my headsets on. So what I do is,
you do have another hand.
Yeah, but I can't. You can't take the right side and pull it from your left side of your body. Let's see you do it, Jeff. Yeah, it's not as easy as you think. Uh-huh. See?
How's that, Michael?
I thought that was actually pretty good.
Thanks.
So anyway, what I've been doing is I've been holding my headset down on the table.
You've been putting your head on the table and sliding your head and the phones around you so you don't have to lift your right hand.
Yeah. Or my right arm. The whole thing. The problem
is
up here.
Doing a great job, man.
I got one person. I went for x-rays this morning.
Can I give you a suggestion?
Sure. Stand on the boards.
I'm not a hockey guy.
No, I know.
Guys are doing a power lap. You're about 10 feet out on the ice looking the other way.
I was saying something to somebody who was skating as they went by.
You could say that with your back against the boards covering your tush. Look, man.
You got to give it your all.
I'm looking out for you. I'm looking out for you.
Thanks. You're a good guy.
Jim Schwartz isn't standing on the other side of Miles saying, hey, get to the quarterback. Oh!
So I was told, although I haven't had an official read, I've had somebody who could look at the x-ray tell me that it was something that I've never heard of. I didn't realize it's just, where is it? Where's the words I'm looking for?
I don't know, but this is good radio here.
Well, I mean, people are concerned about my shoulder, so I want to make sure that we're good. Yeah. First I thought it was rotator cuff, then I thought maybe labrum and all those things. Maybe I've got some soft tissue issues going on in there, but the words he used, there was humorous in there. I was like, this is not humorous. There's nothing humorous about this. So, here's.
You know that's a
gleno.
That's a bone. You know that,
yeah,
right?
Glenohumeral. Okay. Have you ever heard that? I've never heard anybody talk about a glenohumeral.
Don't you take that for an upset stomach?
Yeah, I would think so. Could Imodium AD fix my shoulder? No, but it could probably fix the topics that I talk about every day. Glenohumeral. So, anyway.
Is Kevin Stefanski coming up?
I think he is. Maybe he'll come out. Injury report today. Listen to Baskin on the radio. He's got a glenohumeral. He looks good on the grass. You know, we'll just play it day by day.
We'll keep you posted.
He may be going on the IR
for
4 weeks. In the
official injury report on Friday.
Oh, that's true. And we could sponsor it. It'd be great. What else did you get out of Shador, my friend, before we hear from Kevin, which is coming up here in a moment?
He understands what he's all about. As quick as things come your way, they can leave, basically, is what he said. And he said it a couple of times. So he knows, you know, it's the NFL. You got to go out. You got to do it. You got to continue to perform well.
I like the part.
Also, doesn't sound like he and Dylan Gabriel are great pals. nor would I expect them to be. But they it also doesn't sound like they're enemies.
Well, it's the room, Jeff. It's about the room. You got to know your role.
It's all about the room.
Yeah, I mean, either you're the one, the two, the three, the four, or the five in that room. Right? At one point. Or was it the six?
I think Pickett, it was the 14.
Flacco. No, wait, it was Pickett, Flacco, Gabriel, Sanders.
Watson.
They brought in Huntley.
Huntley.
Huntley, Watson. Yeah, it's six.
It was six.
It's a big room. I wonder if they had to bring in like a trailer or something.
Auxiliary trailer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The annex. Our quarterback room's so big, we have an annex.
I'm guessing that's the case.
That would be great. Again, we're waiting for Kevin Stefanski. He should pop up here pretty soon. We've seen some of the other players talk today. It'll be interesting to find out what Joel Bitonio had to say today, as well as he met with the press. But otherwise, he said something I thought was interesting. I'm not comfortable. I don't want to be comfortable.
Well, he's only played three halves of NFL football.
But his point wasn't that he wasn't comfortable because of the expectations as a player. He just appreciates the fact that he has the opportunity to go out on the field. And he doesn't want to feel comfortable because that would mean you're taking it for granted. At least that's the way I read into it.
Okay.
That's how it came off. It's really easy to see how people like why people like him, too. You can see it. He's just... Like, how many times do we see players get up there and it's such a chore? And, you know, we've said this 10 zillion times, and we get it. Like, reporters don't matter. It's not. It's your reaction. It's the answer that matters. No one's listening. I mean, they listen to hear what the question is, but you never see the reporter in most cases.
The reporter doesn't go viral. The responses sometimes do.
Unless the reporter tries to draw attention to themselves. And we've worked with plenty of people in the business that, well, that want to make themselves bigger than the story.
That we have.
Yeah. They're not bigger than the story, though.
That is correct.
The story is the person you're interviewing. And so Shador genuinely smiles and talks, you know, like what he said to Jeff Shadell today about, oh, you're trying to stir something up. Like,
yeah, that's kind of funny. That's what a guy would say.
Yeah, that's what a regular like person says. It's not, you know, a lot of times, though, you've been in the league so long, some of the veterans are like, they think it, they don't say it, and then they just give you something generic. Whereas Shador, and this is the part where I love rookies, because sometimes rookies will tell you the truth because they haven't been through the grind of having something misinterpreted or cut up in when someone's putting out sound bites.
But he's guarded without sounding like he's guarded.
You think he does?
He doesn't give you any bulletin board material.
No, but I don't think he's guarded.
But he gives you a very nice, you know, cordial response, which is good. And it does nothing, and I think a lot of players, a lot of coaches, but, you know, coaches have their gig. I think a lot of players could learn from that approach, and I think the Browns have a lot of guys who are very cordial with the media, because that's, as we've talked about, that's being cordial with your fans.
Mm-hmm. Gentlemen, I hate to interrupt you one more time. We are going to go back out to Brave for Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski.
Coach Shanahan, his coaches, his staff. I know a lot of his coaches, they do a great job, really talented roster. They're playing good football. So we have to meet this challenge. It's a unique challenge in some of the things they do schematically. So we have to have a great work week. Obviously it's a different work week just with Thanksgiving tomorrow, and we'll move some meetings around and that type of thing. But I have to have a really great work week this week before we head down to the stadium in front of our fans, which is we're very excited about that part. So with that, I'll take any questions.
With Robert there now back as the defensive coordinator, where has he kind of put his imprint back on that defense? And what is the, you know, what's kind of the teaching points with Shador this week to prepare him for that?
Coach Sala does an amazing job. You know, I've competed against Coach Sala when he was at the Niners the first time. When he was at the Jets, obviously going up against him now. He's excellent football coach from the X's and O's, but this defense and Coach Sala's system and our system share a lot of DNA. Their defensive line coach, Chris Kucerik, who does an outstanding job, was with Coach Schwartz when they were in Detroit together. So there's a lot of things that they do similar. And I'd say the number one thing that I think you'd see on tape is how hard their defense plays and how relentless their defense plays. And that's something that's obviously part of both teams' defensive identity.
How much work and what was the work that went into Shador eliminating those deep lost sacks?
Yeah, I thought he did a great job. The protection plan was really solid. We really had one sack for negative 3 yards on a coverage sack. You know, we went max protection, didn't really have any underneath options, moved forward in the pocket with great ball security. So that's a great lesson for the young quarterback. And we took a sack, but it was just for minus three. We maintained possession of the ball. He had great ball security throughout that. But it only you have great success over the course of a game by everybody being on the same page. That's the quarterback and how he's operating. That's the offensive line and who they're blocking. Tight ends and running backs are involved. Obviously, people getting open. So I thought that was a really, really strong outing for Shador in his first start to just have one sack.
Coaching to him to go over former games and say...
Oh, sure. We talk about a lot in that quarterback room and certainly... had a lot of discussions with all the quarterbacks in Shador on just our pocket movement, our pocket mechanics. When you have players that can escape the pocket and make big plays down the field, naturally there are going to be times where you then expose yourself to a pass rush. So that balance of finding the completions when they're there and you can make plays from the pocket, and then also still having that ability to break the pocket, break contain, move up in the pocket, all those type of things where some big plays lie when you do that.
The 49ers are, I think, last in the NFL in sacks right now. And obviously Nick Bosa's not out there. Fred Warner's not out there. What does that mean in terms of their ability to get pressure and rush the passer?
Yeah, they still do an outstanding job. They have rushers that can win one-on-ones. They have a good pressure package on third down, and they are relentless. Just talking earlier about how this team plays, they're relentless. So you have to match their intensity really throughout the game.
McCaffrey that gets the ball as much as he does. I mean, besides the talent aspect of it, how does the just volume challenge you guys?
Yeah, he's a unique player in this game, just the way he impacts the game and both the run and the pass. When he's running routes, he's a wide receiver. I mean, I really don't think there's a route he can't run. They could line him up anywhere. He could run any route. There's no run scheme that he can't run. So he's a huge challenge. Having gone against him over the years, you try to limit him, you try to slow him down, but you also have to recognize this is a great player.
The fans are going to go crazy Sunday with Shador. Do you have to kind of like harness his energy so he stays within the game?
I think he's always done a nice job of that. He's you know, what we appreciate about all of our players is authenticity. He's the same guy every single day. Obviously, on game day, there's a juice that comes with that. There's an excitement that comes with that. But he's played that position for a long time. He knows how to make sure he keeps the main thing the main thing.
How much the 49ers use pre-snap motion? I think they're like second in the league. Just how much is that a point of emphasis for you guys on defense to make sure your eyes are kind of in the right place and you're not falling for certain things that they're trying to show you?
Yeah, it's a huge point of emphasis. And it's been a staple of what they do. That's something certainly when we played them a couple years back was what they do. Having played Miami recently, that's a big part of them as well. So there are schemes, there are offensive attacks that utilize pre-snap motion shift for a variety of reasons, but it's a huge point of emphasis for us on defense to stay true to our job, stay true to our reads, those type of things.
Now, why didn't you give Shador a game ball after the game? And I know you didn't give Dylan one either. Is it like you don't want to let rookies taste too much success too soon? Or what was the
point? No, I mean, every game you go into it, try and just highlight guys. You know, Miles got a game ball. I thought it was probably pretty worthy. But you're just constantly trying to recognize your guys. We spent time this morning as well pointing out all of our guys and the jobs they did out, you know, point out Gage having a big punt return, which was huge for our team. Your D-line doesn't get 10 sacks unless the coverage is really good. Obviously, a rookie starting his first game on the road, getting a win is huge. So you acknowledge all that with your team.
Before you hired Schwartz, he had successful record against Shanahan as coordinators, head coaches. And you shared that success in 2023 in one game. So have you learned some of his trade sequence over the last 3 years?
I think that's honestly, Tony, I think it's probably overrated to think, and I understand the question, but there's really, really good coaches on both sides of the ball. And there's going to be moments where they got you, and there's going to be moments we get them, and there's always in between. But all those previous games, while we're watching that game and they're watching that game, those games don't really factor into this one.
Kevin, when you
When you saw Purdy a couple of years ago, you know, he's still relatively young, still in kind of in that, you know, bursting onto the scene. How has he changed as a quarterback, if at all? What have you noticed different about him now as you get ready to see him a second time?
Yeah, I think he's extremely talented, great decision maker, fast decision maker, very accurate, very, very good athlete, makes a ton of plays with his feet. We've studied a lot of his movement over the years on scramble drills. He's outstanding at extending plays, making plays with his feet. Yeah, I think he's got really all the tools.
Numbers that weren't great early. You always said that you trusted Dylan Sampson and you wanted to get him more involved. Why were you so confident that he would eventually show up?
Yeah, I think there's been opportunities to get him involved. It hasn't exactly worked out. I think he's kind of got the short end of the stick. It feels like a few of his runs over the last few weeks, there's an unblocked player or whatever. And that's part of playing it when you don't get as much exposure, you don't get to get the next run and that type of thing. But I've seen him work. I've seen him out on the practice field since the spring. I know what type of player he is. He gives a different element to our attack when he's out there. So he's somebody that we feel really strongly about.
The Wildcat plays to Judkins. You've done it before, but he didn't do it at Ohio State. So did you guys go back to Mississippi, or how did that originate?
I don't recall, Tony, that. I mean, we got into it earlier in the season. We've done it over the years here, but wasn't whether he did it or not in college, felt pretty confident that we could get him up to speed on a lot of that. You know, that's something that high school teams are doing quite a bit of, especially with the motion included with it. That's something that you see in high school games.
Coach saying he was successful at Mississippi?
It was not, no. But again, that's a every week type of conversation, whether you feel like it gives you an advantage. There are weeks that it doesn't. There are weeks that you work it and you don't get to it in a game. So it's really dependent on the opponent.
It's not something where you feel like you need to go away from it for a while. You could run it every week at the matchup.
Sure. Mm-hmm. I worked with Tony Sperano.
Going back to the similarities in the defenses, does that help Shador a little bit, considering he was going against the defense running the scout team?
I think it's always helpful, and I think San Francisco will get a similar look from their scout team defense this week. Anytime you can have your players, when they're trying, our scout team's trying to act like the 49ers and play the 49ers and you're holding the guard, anytime you can just tell them to play your defense, you're going to get a better look. So certainly I think the look will be better for the quarterbacks, and then just the built up reps of going up against the scheme. Now there are significant differences between the schemes. I think obviously the attack front is where we're similar. Coverages can be very different.
Shanahan's lined up Purdy more under center this year instead of exclusively shotgun. Just how much more has that added to his game, and is it an added challenge with their offense?
It can be. I think it's so dependent on what they're trying to accomplish on a given play type. There are certain play types that have proven to be more successful under center than the shotgun. There's also a comfort level with the quarterback. There's so much that you can do from both. So I think it's just really dependent on what they're trying to lean into.
Miles winning AFC Defensive Player of the Week, and how nice is it for you guys that he just keeps playing as hard as he's playing and getting these accolades?
Yeah, I mean, they could hand that to him every week as far as I'm concerned. We've talked at length about Miles and deservedly so. And the thing I would point out, Mary Kay, and I keep saying it, and I hope someone's pointing it out, but just the run defense definitely gets less of the attention, but he's a well-rounded player. He's an elite player, but this is an elite, well-rounded player. It's not like he's just rushing the passer. He's playing the run. He's doing anything and everything to help this team.
Despite the unfortunate circumstances that led to Dylan not starting, how have you seen him already this week handle and sort of embrace more of that support role with Shador being the starter?
Yeah, our guys are great, great teammates. That's what I appreciate about the guys on this football team. You push each other, you pull each other when you need to. So he'll be in that backup role, and he'll do everything in his power to help this football team, everything in his power to help Shador.
said that about Miles against the run a bunch of times. Is that somewhere you've seen him make a big leap since you've been here?
Not necessarily. I just think the publicity of sacks gets so much attention, and I get it. But I admire a play where he sets the edge violently as much as finishing the quarterback on the ground.
Close? Do you expect him to play this week?
I think we'll know more over the next couple of days.
Monday, the Panthers got three interceptions against Brock Purdy, but they didn't get, any quarterback pressures against Mond. Obviously, this defense has been getting a lot of pressure in the backfield. Kind of, what does that pressure do on a quarterback that's been, kind of making been mistake prone this season with the secondary?
Yeah, obviously, they'll have their plan of attack. He does a great job of getting the ball out on time. We have to rush with discipline. We really have to have a focus of everybody doing their job. When we as a defense have 11 on the same page, everybody doing their job and doing it relentlessly, we feel good about our chances.
What makes McCaffrey so difficult to bring down? I think he leads the league in missed tackles this year.
Incredible contact balance, incredible ability to make the first man miss, can cut on a dime, runs with power, has a great feel for space and where he is and where the defenders are and where his blockers are. Good. Okay, not going to see you guys tomorrow, so happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Even you, Tony.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.